If we are to guard against ignorance and remain free, it is the responsibility of every American to be informed. A quote from Thomas Jefferson.
Good morning. I'm Laura O'Reilly, and welcome to It's a New Day. I'm subbing for Kim Kennedy, and our guest today is the National Immigration Analyst, Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer is the National Spokeswoman and Communications Director of the Border Wall GoFundMe campaign, We Build the Wall. Many of us have heard recent reports that the federal agency tasked with overseeing security and transportation hubs has been violating its own policy by allowing migrants who have been released from federal custody onto flights despite having required documents missing. This is according to several Department and Homeland Security officials. For the past 6 months, the Transportation Security Administration has allowed migrants released from the custody of other Homeland Security agencies to board flights to other parts of the country, despite the passengers lacking any of the 15 documents it states are the only acceptable forms of identification. Since early December, the agency has avoided temporarily changing federal policy and also has not introduced a permanent solution to address this new phenomenon, despite no indication border apprehensions and mass releases are slowing down anytime soon. Welcome to It's a New Day, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, so before we jump into today's topic, the topic I just introduced about migrants traveling within our borders without proper documents, tell us about who you are, how you got involved with We Build the Wall campaign, and then how this kind of migrated to this border issue.
Yeah, so I grew up in New York, born and raised, and I am a graduate of New York Military Academy, the same military school that President Trump graduated from. And I've been involved in politics for, oh my gosh, a decade now, and a bunch of political campaigns such as Senate or presidential campaigns. And I always found myself working with different groups. And I was also a Breitbart reporter for the 2016 election. So I really got to know different groups all over the country. And Angel Families were one of the groups that I got to know. And their horrific stories of their children getting killed in this country by people who shouldn't even have been here in the first place really, really touched a chord with me. And then I had the opportunity to get involved with this GoFundMe effort, which turned into an amazing thing. And we actually now have a mile to a mile and a half of our border wall in New Mexico already standing. We followed through on our promise.
Following through on promises, that's a great thing. American public loves that. So you've been successful in raising enough funds to do that. Now, how have you morphed into this new topic here, this interest in what's going on with the Transportation Security Administration?
Well, it all flows together. What we're dealing with as we are exploring with We Build the Wall, these issues are prominent all along our border, and this is how they are coming into our country illegally and traveling around our country illegally. They're coming over our border, and when they get here, they're given ways, such as bus tickets and airline fares, to get around our country to sanctuary cities where they've been incentivized to come there. And as we see these topics, we realize it all flows into one topic. And the point is we need to shut down our border. We need to put a border wall there. And it's not that we don't want immigrants in our country. We need to know who's coming here. We have sickness coming to our border. We have people who should definitely
not
be in this country.
Just stop for a minute here. Jennifer, just stop for a minute, would you please? Let's back up here. I want to ask you, put a lot out there. So I want to take a couple of these points right here. You say that they're bringing sickness. What sicknesses are they bringing, and where can our listeners check on the veracity and the truthfulness of this? This is a pretty hefty allegation. So what are the illnesses that they're bringing in, and where can we actually kind of fact check you on that?
Yeah, measles, mumps, rubella. If you look back 6 months or to a year, the stories coming out was that there was a measles outbreak in the camps along the border. Now, all of a sudden, we have a measles outbreak in many parts of our country. If you look at the recent stories that came out, there is rubella popping up. All of these sicknesses that, you know, were eradicated in our country are now showing up, and we are getting reports of those at the border. Border Patrol is reporting these things, and this is something that we can't accept. And if we're not screening them properly before we put them out into the general public, why are we exposing the general public to things that have been eradicated?
Okay, so these, and so when we look at the statistics here, we can say, first of all, the Border Patrols reported these diseases, and now we can draw a straight line to the sanctuary cities. Is that correct? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
I don't think it's a straight line. I would never say it's this or that, but if you look at where the immigrants have been sent from the places that had the sickness, there is a large overlap.
Okay, so there's an overlap in numbers there. So we're a reasonable conjecture would be that people, diseased people, are in mass coming to these locations, and that's putting the general population at risk.
Yes.
Okay, all right. So, and then you said that they're being incentivized to come to these. So give us a little bit of a flavor of that. What are the types of incentives that migrants are being given? So they've passed through Border Patrol. They've been cleared by Homeland Security, and we can come back to that
in
a minute, because I'm wondering, does that mean that they're safe?
They came to our country illegally. They passed our border illegally. And I personally have seen them walk up to me personally and ask me if I was Border Patrol. And when I told them no, they asked me where they could find Border Patrol. That's the first thing that's unacceptable. The second thing is, so you asked me, repeat the question if you could, just so I know.
So
exactly
I'm just trying to follow the line here. So they've come through illegally, but at some point our policies currently have cleared them to now be able to move through our country into our general population. Homeland Security says they're not a threat. Is that correct?
They have been incentivized by the Democrats to come to sanctuary cities. If you make it over the border, make sure to come to one of our cities where ICE agents are not allowed to check your immigration status, and you can go about your life in this city as an illegal alien with no check unless you commit a crime, right? So that's an incentive for anyone who comes to this country. If you can make it to that city as opposed to a non-sanctuary city where you have to live in fear, then, yeah, that is incentivizing them.
Okay. And are we paying the airfare to take them to these? Are our tax dollars paying the airfare to take them to the sanctuary cities?
I don't know that question off the top of my head, but I can get you that information because I know we build the wall. We have that information, but I don't have that information off the top of my head.
Okay. That'd be good to know, because if I'm paying for that, I'd like to know that. I really
Absolutely.
Would prefer that people follow the laws and follow our policies. And I know that I sometimes even put limits on my travel because I think of the hassle I'm going to have to go through. And it sounds like that barrier has been removed for people who have already broken the law. But I'm just trying to get the facts here. So they're going to the sanctuary cities. Once they get there in the sanctuary cities, who's responsible for them?
You know, that's a very good question. I would say that if they are living off of welfare or other government-funded programs, it's the taxpayers who are having to pay for that. And if you look at the rates that illegal immigrants have caused severe bodily harm and, if not killed, legal U.S. people, it's really disturbing. I've spent a lot of time with the Angel families, and their children were murdered by people who were, twice, three times, seven times deported and still came back into the country and committed a crime, or were just an illegal alien who drove drunk or shot somebody. And, you know, they are not U.S. citizens. They should have never been here in the first place. So to have an American killed by that is disgusting, and especially in a city where it's a sanctuary city, where the Democrats have allowed people to live in that city undetected.
Okay, so let me clarify my question here. I'm asking, so these people get to a sanctuary city, and we can discuss what, you know, the welfare, getting on welfare rolls and that kind of thing, but I'm wondering, at this point, is there a legal system that's tracking them to make sure that they show up for the proper hearings for their citizenship? Are they going to places within the sanctuary cities where government officials are now tracking them to make sure that all the other policies that so far haven't been followed, the other policies can be followed, and we can ensure that the pathway to citizenship is there and ensure the safety of the existing citizens?
No, they're not. So what happens is when they're picked up by Border Patrol, they're given a sheet of paper that says your court date about your citizenship hearing is in 6 years, and you have to show up to that. Their reports out recently, 6 years is a lot. And if you, there's reports out recently that 90% of the people do not come back and show for their court date.
So where those reports are coming from, who are they coming from? Official government sources, or are these?
I believe that was an official government report that 90% of them do not come back for their court dates. But again, I can send you that article. But I'm pretty sure it was someone of stature. And someone who should be respected saying that.
Okay.
And it was very shocking.
All right. And so in the sanctuary cities where they're taking them to, presumably, and then are they flying commercial airlines or are these government transport planes?
That's another question I would have to ask to rebuild the wall. And I would really encourage you, the questions I can't answer, please send them to me afterwards, and I'd love to get your questions answered for you.
Okay, so the migrants are showing up in the sanctuary cities. We don't know whether anybody is taking responsibility for them and ensuring both our current citizens' safety and their process of becoming citizens. And do the citizens who already live in the sanctuary cities, do they know that these people are coming, or is this just kind of by surprise?
By surprise a lot of the time. By surprise, and they don't even know they're there. Until, unfortunately, one commits a crime. And we're seeing that more and more and more and more. And it's really, really disturbing.
Okay.
And we also have to think about that if a poor migrant can exploit our border like this, a well-funded terrorist organization could also exploit our border just like this. And that's something that's scary because that threat is out there to us. And we need to start taking it a little more seriously.
Okay, so isn't it, though, Homeland Security that's clearing these people? So have they investigated them first before they, or does Homeland Security just release everybody? They're not doing investigations to ensure that these are not terrorists?
There is very little in background investigation going on. And you can't always take for truth what these people are telling you. They could be coming under a fake passport, a fake visa, and selling you a line of what their life is, but that might not be that person. But we don't have any way of checking that. So it's kind of, you know, if they come in with a kid, they're more likely to get into the country. And that's why we've seen such high rates of juveniles at the border with people who one-third of the time in a study were not even their parents by blood. So, I mean, this is some crazy stuff going on.
It surely is. Okay. For fairness here, so that our listeners know, I actually have a daughter down there on the border serving. And so I am asking these questions because we need to get to what are the deeper issues here. My daughter's putting her life on the line right now. Okay. And citizens around us are questioning this in a way that isn't really looking at this without a lot of course, we're emotional. More than one murder of one American citizen is not acceptable. So what I'd like to do is just dig a little deeper here and say, let's just put our thinking hats on. What are the people who are doing this, the people who are making these decisions? Someone along the line said it's okay for us to transport people who we have not fully vetted, assuming that's correct, and we are now going to move them deeper into our nation. And perhaps the crime statistics are show that perhaps they commit more crimes or less crimes. I don't know. I'm hearing reports all over the place. But I like to be charitable. And so I would think that the people who are doing this have reasons and justifications. What reasons are they giving you and your organization that's so vocal that this is a sound practice? And what is their justification? Because logically,
well,
it doesn't make any sense. We have these rules. We have this crisis. They're not taking any action. and they're breaking their own regulations. What are their justifications?
They don't really have justifications other than that if you want a border wall, you're xenophobic and racist. And if you believe that, you know, we should vet people a certain way to get into the country, the other side just yells at you. They're not really giving a justification for this.
Okay.
I see a big difference between people trying to come here legally and following a process versus people crossing over the border in the middle of the night. And if you're crossing over a border in the middle of the night, there is a reason you're doing that. And we have video. So that mile or the half mile to a mile wall that we built in Sunland Park, New Mexico, we made it able. So the border patrol, it used to take from the bottom of this mountain to the top of the mountain where we built the wall. It used to take border patrol 30 minutes to get up there. But we consulted with Border Patrol, and they told us they needed a concrete road next to the wall so they could get up there faster. It now takes them 30 seconds to get to the top of the mountain. And this was known as the luxury pass of the drug cartel because it was between Juarez and El Paso. So you actually paid more to the coyotes and for your drugs to pass through this area than you did anywhere else along the border.
Okay, well, so you're doing great work there at We Build a Wall. Today, my guest, I'm Laura O'Reilly, subbing for Kim Kennedy on It's a New Day. And our guest today is Jennifer Lawrence. She's the National Spokeswoman and Communications Director of the Border Wall GoFundMe campaign, We Build a Wall. And we're talking today about apparently the new policy of let's just move people inside our borders, move them to sanctuary cities without proper documentation. Some of the concerns I hear from Jennifer is that we're looking at increased spread of disease, terrorism perhaps, drugs. At the GoFundMe, We Build the Wall, have you, as you build this wall and you've made access for the Border Patrol agents easier, what is the response from the public? Are you getting any pushback from your neighbors, or is everyone pretty much saying, yeah, this is a great thing?
Yeah, so, I mean, we did have a stop. So we started on Memorial Day, 5 o'clock on Friday of Memorial Day weekend, and we worked straight until Tuesday morning, and then they issued a stop work permit, the city of Sunland Park. Until our lawyers got with their legal team and realized that they couldn't issue us that stop work permit. So they had to reissue it. And we ended up building that section in about 10 days, completely finished. And for about $6 or $8 million, we're still getting the final tallying cost. But we did it in record time and for a fraction of what the government would have done it for.
Very good. Good work. All right. So what actions should our listeners take here? So if they're outraged or concerned about this topic, what actions can they – I always like to give my listeners a call to action. What can they do?
Yeah. So my Twitter is JenLawrence21, or you can go to We Build the Wall on any of Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or visit WeBuildTheWall.us. And our GoFundMe is still open. GoFundMe.com/TheTrumpWall.
Okay. And is there anything they can do about TSA breaking its own regulations?
Yeah, we're looking into that. We've written a couple stories on it, and we're looking into it. So we will have something about that soon. We're looking into it with a bunch of people.
Okay. And so who is in your alliance? I mean, what are other like-minded organizations that are working side by side with you?
I would have to look that up just to double check because I'm not sure if they're official or they're not official, so I don't want to go saying anything. But we do have a stellar board of advisors headed by Steve Bannon. We also have Eric Prince. We have some of the Angel families, General Spaulding, John Moran, and, of course, Brian Colfash, who is a triple amputee, one of the worst wounded war veterans in this country's history. So it's really an amazing organization. We've achieved amazing things. We also have Chris Kobach on our board. And I would encourage people to check out WeBuildTheWall.us and see what we're doing and see what we're about, because it's all about private money on private land and doing what the government can't do to make the lives better for we the people.
Very good. And how do people donate? They go to the GoFundMe page?
Yeah, they can go to the GoFundMe.com/the Trump Wall, or they can just go to WeBuildTheWall.us.
And, of course, we're always looking to reduce our taxes. Is there donation tax deductible?
I would have to double check with our CFO on that. I'm not sure. I can get back to you on that.
Okay, very good. So our guest today has been Jennifer Lawrence on It's a New Day. I'm Laura O'Reilly, subbing for Kim. Kennedy, is there any closing words of wisdom that you'd like to leave our listeners about this issue and what American citizens should be doing to get themselves educated about it?
Yeah, I mean, even if you live thousands of miles from the U.S. border, when you hear about a heroin epidemic in your community or someone you know, like, unfortunately dying of a heroin overdose, that heroin and those drugs probably came over the U.S. border and made it all the way up there to take that life. The border issue affects every single American, everywhere, everything. Everybody needs to pay attention to this. It's not just people who are on the border. It's people all over the country. So please visit WeBuildTheWall.us and see what we're about. And we're going to be having a big event on June 24th, so check it out.
And what is that big event and where does it take place?
We are going to be releasing it in a couple days, like 2 days.
Okay.
We'll have a big press release about it, but it's going to be an amazing event, and we're going to have a lot of people getting involved in it, and everyday people. So I think it's going to be something great.
All right. So listeners, if you're interested in learning more about not only the issue of immigrants being passed through and to sanctuary cities without proper documentation, I invite you and encourage you to visit WeBuildTheWall.us, where you can learn more and get more facts from. And Jennifer, it's been a pleasure having a conversation with you. And I look forward to seeing the great work that you're going to do. And also, let's all take a moment and pray for the Angel families. There can be no greater loss than losing a family member to violence, especially violence that was could have been easily avoided. I'm Laura O'Reilly, subbing for Kim Kennedy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, September 12, 1777.
Up next, Carol Swain with 2 minutes to think about it. From poverty to professor, from GED to PhD, a bold Christian speaking truth to power. Here's Carol with today's 2 minutes.
Hello, folks. Back in 1987, there was a TV miniseries about the United States under Soviet occupation called America. America with a K, that is. The premise was, it's 10 years into a Soviet occupation of the U.S., and we find out that, quote, "You lost your country before we ever got here," says the Soviet leader. "You had political freedom, but you lost your passion." How could we not win? A stinging indictment of our nation, for sure, though judging by the voter turnout at many recent elections, it may be a warning worth heeding. America is somewhat prophetic in the sense that we see massive redistribution of wealth, farmland taken from those who have owned it and given to others who are deemed more worthy by their circumstances. Patriotic celebrations replaced with ones deemed more politically correct, and our children indoctrinated with socialist ideology and taught to hate all that America traditionally stood for. And in a speech in the final episode, we hear a young boy saying, "Everyone will go to school. Everyone will have a job. Everyone will be equal. No one will exploit or be exploited. And all those who oppose this wonderful vision will be crushed." These words of the 1980s TV drama so closely mimic those of today's progressive Democrats. We dare not take a lesson from this piece of fiction before it become fact before our very eyes.
Learn more about Dr. Carol M. Swain and help support her ongoing work with your tax-deductible donation to Be the People Project at carolmswain.com. That's carolmswain.com.
We are right to take alarm at the first experiment upon our liberties, a quote from James Madison.